across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
The word nonce is trending. It was number one earlier. It's down. Nonce is down to number four. Bizarrely, do you remember the first time you ever heard the word nonce? Hang on, big finish. I remember the first time I ever heard the word nonce. I was 21. I was going to see a friend's pantomime. And we were like in Croydon or somewhere. And I remember there was some like young, I was with Simon, my friend, and there were some young people, and they shouted something at me, and I shouted something back at them, and then one of them went, nonce!
Wow.
And I went, Simon, what is it? What's a nonce? What's it? He said, like someone who has it away with kids. I went, you cheeky babbers! Calling me a nonce! But that was the first time I ever heard the word nonce.
I can't remember.
Can you not? It's just always been there for you. It's always been ever present.
No, not really. Ponce we used to use a lot.
Well, ponce is like someone who...
Sponges.
Like, yeah, sponges. Remember when Julia Hartley Brewer called the entire England football team nonce, a bunch of nonces? Remember that?
Yeah, and I think she meant ponces, didn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she did. Oh, dear.
Ridiculous. I remember the first time I swore in front of my... No, second time I swore in front of my mum, a proper swear word.
Oh, yeah, go on.
I used the word, I was calling my sister a winker in the back of the
car.
Repeatedly. And I must have been about 10. And I just remember seeing my mum's shoulders shaking and I could see in the rear, in the driver mirror that she was laughing. And then she turned around with the face like thunder and went, that's the worst word in the world. Never let me hear you say it again. I've been calling it for ages.
I have to say, there's nothing funnier. My 7-year-old, well, I can't remember what my sister was over and we were all sat at the table, we were having breakfast and he was sat on my lap because we didn't have enough chairs. And he's talking about a game or a film or someone online and he said, and they were very naughty, they said the F word and the S word. And we all sort of looked at him and left a silence. And he looked up at us and went, and then he said them. There's nothing funnier than my 7-year-old saying the F bomb. It's so funny. Because he's got quite a posh voice as well. Don't take after me. He's quite a posh voice. So a little 7-year-old, squeaky, posh voice. It's absolutely wonderful. Kids swearing, guys. I mean, if you want to send us recordings of your kids swearing, we'll play them out. We'll have to bleep them. But there might be something in that. Good evening, Steve.
Good evening, Ian. Yeah, I'd like to make a few points about this Prince Andrew thing.
Okay, here we go.
Right. If you could just allow me about a minute and a half. Otherwise, I'll lose train of thought.
Okay, we'll have a conversation. So let's see where we go.
Okay. Right, basically, the person that links all this together is Ghislaine, right? Now, Ghislaine is Prince Andrew's best female friend and also Epstein's girlfriend.
Right.
So she needs to be interviewed by the police. That's the first point.
Okay.
My second point is I've just Googled pictures, and I Googled a picture, and I saw Trump, Melania, Epstein and Prince Andrew,
yes,
all in the same pic.
Yes.
Right? Now, Trump is 30 years older than Melania. I know that's no problem, but bearing in his record of, you know, it's okay to grab a woman's private parts.
Yes.
And he's been accused of rape.
Yeah.
Of a 13-year-old girl when he was in his 30s,
yep,
incidentally, at Epstein's mansion party.
Yeah.
And I've seen the harrowing video of the woman talking, a now woman talking,
yep,
which they've taken off, funny enough, a lot of the channels. So
I've seen that picture as well. It's a very famous picture, yeah.
Yeah, so they're all linked together, basically, aren't they?
Well, quite possibly. I mean, quite possibly, yes.
Let's be honest. Trump's a you know, womanizer. Look what he says. Compare his morals with Obama's.
Trump's attitude towards women is atrocious. He has admitted sexual assault. And there are a significant number of women who say that they were raped by him. Doesn't make him guilty. And I'm now, thanks to the VIP paedophile scandal over here. Nick Carl Beach was his name. And the stuff he made up. I am now, because of that case, I am now slightly more reticent to believe people accusing others of sexual assault than I was a year ago. I have a bigger question mark over such people. But yeah, Trump's attitude towards women is atrocious, and nothing about him sexually would surprise me. Yeah.
Yeah, and when you think about it, Trump's meant to be the most important person in the world, as in, you know, the most powerful person in the world, and he's actually been accused of rape, accused of assault. Now, Andrew, I don't know, I'm not protecting him, but he hasn't been accused of rape, or he hasn't been accused of that yet.
Yeah,
anyway.
Well, no. I mean, is it Victoria Roberts? Is that her name? I'm just, if it is, then,
I think
then
so,
five
yeah.
points.
Let's check.
Yeah, let's check. Let's get the accusation right. She has accused
Virginia Roberts.
Virginia Roberts, thank you. And Epstein of trafficking her around the world to have sex with the rich, the famous, and the powerful. And I believe, and Catherine is nodding, and she will stop nodding when I get it wrong, that she is accusing that one of the people she was forced into having sex with at the age of 17 was Prince Andrew. Am I correct, Catherine?
That's
right. The story,
that's
isn't
right.
it?
That's right, and that's something he denies, doesn't he?
Now, there are some very slight nuances in as much that I see, and others might disagree, that the age of consent in this country is 16. Doesn't, you know, make a significantly older guy having sex with a 17-year-old. I still think that's creepy and wrong. But the age of consent, if we're going to be precise, in this country is 16. The age of consent in the majority of America at the time, I think, was 18. But in some states, I think it might have been like 13 or something. So I don't quite know the point I'm making. What I'm trying to say is I am against paedophilia. I'm against child rape. I'm against trafficking of anybody for sex. I do think that there are a couple of little areas in this story that perhaps bear a little bit more questioning. But if what she says is true, happened, then it's horrendous, horrendous, horrendous. I don't for one second condone it, and my sympathies are with everybody involved.
I find it very interesting, the change of tone in referring to these women and girls. Actually, they were girls, weren't they, for the most part?
Yes.
Is that now they're being referred to by a lot of the tabloids as sex slaves, rather than teenage sex workers.
To me, a sex slave is when you and your missus go, right, this weekend, you are mine, I'm tying you up. That's a sex slave, right? Two consenting adults going for a little bit of the old BDSM. 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old children are not sex slaves, they are rape victims.
But I just make another point.
Of course you can, Steve.
Yeah, if it's illegal, it's wrong, right? But there are girls, let's be honest about the Rod Stewarts of this world and all the people in the 70s. You think how many, they used to call them groupies, didn't they?
Okay, hang on a minute. Let's just park Rod Stewart to one side. Rod Stewart's not involved in this story. I'm sure Rod Stewart has led a thoroughly decent life. So let's just park Rod Stewart. Let's put him in the attic with the train set, the model railway, and leave Rod Stewart out of this. So, yes. Rock stars would have had groupies, and I'm sure a lot of those groupies were 14, 15-year-old girls. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So this is going to go on and on. But I believe this is a, you know, you're calling me a conspiracist, but I think this is a thing going from the top. Because the people that are spreading the same things with, you know, the getting the sexes to fight each other, getting us to not like each other, getting us to, you dare look at that person, you dare make eye contact with that person.
Who's saying
you know,
that?
It's all an agenda.
Who's saying, don't look at that, don't make eye contact with that person?
Well, that's how it's almost getting, that's what I'm saying, isn't it?
Are you talking about Me Too?
I'm talking about the sort of people that would have set that Me Too movement up. And it's not the women like you think.
Because I was so going along with you. I was so going along with you until you started spouting that bollocks. Who set up Me Too then?
the same people that set up Black Lives Matter, the same people that set up the right wing, you know, the right wing, the same. Why are all these psychops going on in America? You know, yeah. Trump supporters.
But okay, well, you say the same people set up Black Lives Matter and Me Too. Who are they?
The people at the top of the pyramid. The people that we're not allowed to mention.
Well, mention them. The Jews. Is that what you're saying?
The Zion. There's a lot of different Zionists.
Okay. Can I just say, Steve, thanks very much for your call. I see. Right. He really did meet the Jews. Okay.
it couldn't possibly be a woman with a genuine gripe, could it?
From now on, I'm going to refer to Jewish people as the people we're not allowed to mention. Do you know what? I was going with him. And I was thinking, well, you know, when you've got President Trump, who has admitted to a sexual assault, and you've got Prince Andrew, you've got Epstein. Maybe this whole, you know, paedophilia thing is coming from the top. But he meant higher than that. He meant the people that cannot be mentioned, the Jews.
Incredible.
Wow. I Steve, man, I was so with you, brother. I was so with you until it became an anti-Semitic, awful conspiracy rant. Why could it not be that Black Lives Matter was set up? And I don't know who set up these things, but was set up by some disenfranchised African-Americans who were sick of seeing people who had the same colour skin being killed by police and the police getting away with it. I'm assuming that's the background of Black Lives Matter.
Well, yeah, but Tarana Burke is the person who is the founder of the Me Too movement.
Is she a person that cannot be named?
No.
Right.
She's called Tarana Burke, and you can Google her.
she's the Me Too.
She's a civil rights activist from the Bronx, yeah. New York, founded the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
She began using the phrase Me Too on social media to raise awareness of the pervasiveness of sexual abuse and assault in society.
I shouldn't be laughing while you're saying that. Sorry, that's very disrespectful. I apologise.
And this is the thing, you know, it's and now it's
but it
being...
it wasn't her idea. It was a Jewish man's idea.
Because it couldn't possibly be a black woman's idea.
That's a real,
someone with a genuine gripe.
The people that have problem with black lives, well, white lives matter too. Yeah, they do. And it would appear that white lives matter more than black lives. That's why Black Lives Matter has been created, because of course all lives are equal, right? Black, white, whatever. It's all equal. Except, particularly in America, and you can also look at the number of black men that die in police custody in this country, it's like way higher than any white guy. But particularly in America, black people are getting shot by the cops.
In their own homes, watching their televisions.
They're getting murdered. And I sound like a white middle class do-gooder, but it's a fact. Black people are being murdered in their homes, as Kath says, out on the street. They're being murdered by white cops. And for the most part, the cops are getting away with it. And Me Too is like a lancing of a boil, something that's been percolating away for years, for decades, primarily in the entertainment industry, but everywhere. It's like a spot, a zip, that's been filling and filling and filling and filling with pus until someone went, I'm going to squeeze that. And all this stuff came out. Now, what Black Lives Matter doesn't do is it's not saying white lives don't matter. It's not saying black lives matter more than white. Saying we're all equal, but at the moment they don't feel equal. And what Me Too isn't doing, it's not saying men, you can't go and chat up women. It's not saying men, you can't look at women. What it's saying is you can't rape women. You can't, it's saying lots and lots of things. It's lots of things. Go on.
You can't say to a 17-year-old head girl when you're there to give a motivational talk about how everyone can achieve and it doesn't matter where you come from. You can't get her in a corner and ask her exactly how she came by the title head girl.
Which is what happened to you.
Uh-huh.
It's what happened to you. You cannot, as a man, I mean, you can also go into arguments about gay women as well, but primarily as a man, use your gender, your sexuality, your authority, your height, your strength, whatever, to sexually intimidate women. Doesn't mean you can't look, you can look at women. You can even, in correct situations, say, hey, it's a really nice dress you're wearing. You can do that. And you can talk to women and you can chat women up.
If you need this explaining to you, I would suggest it's you.
Yes, yes.
If you don't, it's not you. And you won't be offended because you get that because you're not an idiot.
Yeah, you can't even, thing is though, you can't even look at women these days. Yes, you can. You can. Yeah, but you can't even chat them up. Yes, you can. Yeah, but you can't even force yourself sexually on them without their consent. No, you've never been able to. You've never been able to. You're not allowed to touch them without their consent. You're not, that's all it's from me too. It's just reminding people of the blinking obvious. That we apparently we've all seemed to have forgotten.
Most people aren't getting upset about it. Most men are not getting upset about
it. Damn! And the ones that are getting upset with Me Too, and the white people that are getting upset with Black Lives Matter, you've got to wonder why they're getting upset. What part of their privilege? What part of their lifestyle is being impinged on by something that is only out there to cause good? It's not there to cause harm. It's not there to belittle. It's only out there to cause good. So what is your problem with being told you can't go up to a woman and slap her on the ass? What is the problem of being told, of being reminded that it's wrong that so many black people are shot by cops?
Because, right, here's a news flash. This thing of you can't say anything these days, they don't like it anymore. We never liked it. We never liked it. And now women are saying so. And that shouldn't be problematic for you.
Unless you like going up to women and grabbing them up by the titties.
Yeah.
When you're not, you know.
If you wouldn't like someone to do it to your mum, your daughter or your wife, don't do it to someone else.
Steve, I was with you until the people that cannot be mentioned. Wow. Darren, stay there. That's the laugh I needed today. Thank you, Steve. 03444991000. This is Talk Radio.
Dead of Night Discourse for Disco Queens.
I'm related to Jed Wood and Dolly Parton.
Dairy Farmers.
Aye, aye.
And Distant Fathers.
Yeah, well.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Doing lots of things that we don't know about, we can't control.
On Talk Radio.
Yes, great.
03444991000. Can I just say, I have a real troubled relationship with Twitter. It's mainly a-holes on there, and I blocked a guy yesterday, a guy called Seth, who I muted 6 months ago for just treading that line a little bit too firmly on one side of being an a-hole, being rude. And then I blocked him last night. Him. I say him. Him in inverted commas. Really thoroughly unpleasant person. I should have blocked him a long time ago. And there's a few others, you know, the people that are mean and are horrible and stuff. But I, tweeted today that my cat Velvet, who has been with me for, well, it would have been 19 years. I can date it. March the 27th, 2001. She came to live with me. I remember because we watched 9/11 together later that year. That was a tough start. But she came, she was 2 years old, and she came on March the 27th. So I've always kind of just said her birthday is March the 27th. I don't know exactly. And I had to take her to the vets today, and I had to have her put down. Been with me nearly 19 years, and she's been fine, actually. She's all right. She's all right. She's getting on my nerves. So I'd say, come on, bad enough. She's got really, really thin. And just the last 4 or 5 days, she's not been eating anything. She'll go up to her food, she'll lick it, and then she'll leave it. And it just dawned on me last night, oh, my God, she's not shouting at me. She used to shout at me when she was hungry. I thought, oh, she's not shouted at me for about 4 days. This is not good. And she's very wobbly on her feet. And last night, she was so thin, man. I mean, so thin. I've never seen anything like it. And her legs were a little bit manky where she's not been cleaning herself. And I thought, oh, no, this is not great. And so I had a little chat with her last night, and we agreed that we would go to the vets today. And I phoned up, and I was tired because I had the builders come around at like 8, so I was up at 7:30, so I had 4 hours sleep. And I took her to the vets, and we were having a little chat. And in the end, I said to the vet, is it time? And he went, yeah. I think it is. Oh, it's going to make me cry. And so they put her to sleep, and I was there holding her and stuff. And, oh, it was the saddest, saddest thing. I love that cat. And so I tweeted it. I haven't got any pictures of her on my phone, but the only picture I've got is me in bed with her sniffing my eye. So I tweeted, you know, this has been the end of that, and Miss Velvet. And I've not had one mean comment. I've read all of your comments. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Too many to reply to. Dermot O'Leary, you know, wished her well. Reverend Richard Coles blessed her. It's been like liked several thousand times. I've just had nice comments. Loads of people have lost their pets of about 20 years this week. Loads of people. And just really, really nice comments. And it makes up for all the a-holes, all the dicks. It's just, and I've read all of them, and I sort of have to keep dipping in and out because it just upsets me too much. And someone, oh, I can't. Oh dear. Dave said a very pertinent thing. Dave said, who phones the show quite often, they're not like one of the family, they are one of the family. And that's the thing. If you don't have a pet, you don't get it. And if you're not a cat person, you know, it's just a cat. But Velvet was, I used to have to keep hiding my cocaine board because she would be like, she'd see me off my face. She helped me get clean because I would talk to her about it. After another use up, I'd be there going, Velvet, man, what am I going to do? And we'd chat about it when I took mushrooms. We communicated psychically. I took some magic mushrooms and I'm lying on the floor watching Paul McCartney videos, and Velvet was sat on my back as she used to with her paw on my head. I remember thinking, oh, these mushrooms have worn off. And Velvet said to me psychically, no, they haven't. And we were chatting, and after about 2 minutes, went, whoa, they haven't! I'm talking psychically to the cat! So it allowed me to actually have a proper psychic communication with her. It was incredible. But it was just really sad, and I've never held an animal when it's put to sleep, you know. And the vet says, do you want to have a couple of minutes with her before I do it? I said, yeah, we'll have a little chat. And, it's the saddest thing. It's the saddest thing. And we're just there chatting, you know. And
you were so lucky to have each other. And it's horrible.
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible. And I didn't get her stuffed. I didn't get her stuffed. Didn't do it. Part of me really wanted to say, he said, well, we have some options now. She's like lying there.
And he didn't mention stuffing.
He said, well, you can take her home if you've got somewhere you'd like to bury her. Oh, bury her. Sounds like a lot of work. He said, or we can dispose of the body for you, or we can get her cremated, and we can give you the ashes. And I didn't say...
Is there a fourth option?
Do you know any taxidermists? Because that's really kind of my thing. But so I'm going to get her ashes. And, Jesus. Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible. 19 years of her. And then I went home, and then the other cats know. Because the babies, who've been ignoring me a bit recently, they've kind of started to get a bit more independent and just go and sit by themselves at the other end of the room, or even in the other side end of the house. But I came home and the babies could see I was upset, and they just came and sat right on my chest, right up by my neck. And
you don't think it's because they thought now is the time to finish him?
And Patty, this is what Patty sniffed my eye, which is what Velvet used to do. And it sucks, man. It really sucks. But then someone did a really nice picture that had me in floods of tears. I wasn't going to cry.
It's all right to cry.
I know it is, but all I do is cry on this bloody show. Everyone's sick and tired of me crying on this show. Anyway, someone did a very nice picture of it sounds really silly, of me and Velvet just sat together.
Oh.
So that's that. That's that. Thank you, Velvet. It was fun. I'm so lucky she chose me. And here's the thing. The reason we got her, me and Tessa, when I was going with Tessa, I had to email Tessa today and say, just let you know, Velvet died. And she was kind of, she was still alive. We split up 13 years ago. What? But the reason we got her is because she lived in a pub in the Old Street in London. I can't remember what the pub was called. It's not there anymore. It's a club, I think, now. And she was one of two cats, hence the name Velvet, and the other cat was called Guinness. And Guinness was a little bit older and a bit bigger. Velvet was always a little bit small. And Guinness would bully Velvet, and which was fine, but then the couple were having a baby, and so I got her as a rescue cat. Best 40 quid I've ever spent in my life. And when I went round to get it, and the woman was very heavily pregnant, and she was very sad to let her go and stuff. But it dawned on me, that baby that was in her tummy would be 18, is a young man or woman now, you know. That baby is now officially too old for Andrew York. It's, you know, it's a grown up. There's a grown up person out there. Anyway, I was very, very lucky to live with her. Means I'm down to four cats now, which I think is a safe number.
It's almost normal, yeah.
It's almost normal. So what I'm trying to say is, thank you everyone who sent nice messages, and I had loads of emails and loads of tweets, and I've not really replied to any of them, and I've liked the ones from famous people because I'm shallow, but I read every single one, and you're very, very kind, and it's made up for Twitter being a shithole. Right, we've got Darren, we've got David, and we've even got Mo. 0344-499-1000, the Late Night Alternative, weeknights from 10 with Ian and Kath.
The Late Night Alternative with that man, Ian Lee.
There's no strangers here, just friends you haven't stalked on Facebook yet.
Have never sent my picture to anyone who didn't request it.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Yes.
0444-499-1000 is the phone number if you want to give us a call. This is the telephone number. Right, let's get on with this. Here we go. Yes. Darren, good evening, Darren.
Hi, mate. How you doing?
I'm all right, thank you, Darren. What have you got for us tonight?
All right, well, you know, condolences on Velvet to begin with, all right?
Thank you, mate. I appreciate that.
How do we even follow that, what you just went through on the show?
But thank you, mate.
I just want to say, right, real kudos. I listened to the show, first-time caller, not a long-time listener.
Okay, you don't get a bell for that. There's no bell.
it's the mixture of compassion, like we call it earlier, the methadone user.
Yeah.
And then the way you treat these proper dibs who come on afterwards.
I have no idea who you could be talking about tonight.
No, it's not Steve. It wouldn't be Steve. But the juxtaposition of those two parts of the show, I just love. I think it's fantastic, man. You do a fantastic job.
Thank you, man. That's why I like late night radio, because you get those. Well, I wouldn't say they're even extremes. They're, you know, there are more, but you get those calls, and you get time to explore those calls. And that's why me and Catherine, I think, are big fans of late night radio, because it takes someone, I think, very special to phone a radio station at 12:30 on a Tuesday night, or, you know, 11:15 on a Thursday. You know, it brings out some very special people.
I got a bit redundant on New Year's Eve. And I got this job that I've got now within a few days. But it opened up late night radio to me. I never used to listen before, you know, and the past 11 months have been brilliant. Absolutely fantastic.
Thank you, Darren. I'm getting choked up because Dave, I'm going to block Dogface Dave because he's just posted a very touching picture. And Kennedy sent me a very nice message, and he's just posted a really nice picture that I can't actually read all of. Darren, thank you, mate. I appreciate it. Spread the word, man. We need as many listeners as we can get.
Will do. Take care, both of you.
Thank you, mate. Take care. Bye-bye. There you go. And he's right. He's right. That's why, sure, what Steve was saying was obnoxious and was anti-Semitic and was offensive and was horrible. But I love hearing it. I love hearing it. That's the cut's come out slightly wrong. But as a fan of phone-in radio, where it is a little bit more dangerous, in inverted commas, than radio, where you have guests and stuff like that, It's certainly more unpredictable. That's the kind of stuff that makes me listen to the radio a little bit longer when I'm at home, you know, is people on the fringes.
Because people would have been listening to that call and going, yeah, there's something else there. There's something else there.
Yeah.
There's something else. Whoa, there it is.
There it
Whoa.
Is. It's a big
it's
one.
It's that.
It's a big one. Good evening, David.
Can you hear me?
Pardon?
Can you hear me now?
Is David there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? Hello?
I think we've lost David.
Hang on.
Are we not?
Hello? Yeah. Hello? Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, I don't see what.
Hello?
Sam, can you get...
Hello?
Can you hear David?
I think we're having a problem on the phones at the moment. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. If only that would work on this call. Hello, Mo.
Hi. You all right?
No.
Well, thank you for asking. Well, anyway, Ian, I heard you're an ITV presenter.
God. Mo, do you know how to use a telephone, Mo?
Yeah, I heard you're ITV presenter.
I can't hear what you're saying. You're fading in and out.
Put your mouth next to the hole.
All right. I heard you're ITV presenter.
There is.
So, like, do you know the ins and outs of I'm a Celeb?
Do I know the ins and outs of I'm a Celeb?
Yeah, yeah. So do you know, like, who's going to get knocked out?
Yes, I know. I've seen this. I've seen the running script for this year's I'm a Celeb. Yes.
Like, can you please tell me if you have any connection?
Yeah.
That please keep Ian Wright in.
He wins. Oh, I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have said it.
Dump it.
No, it's too late. We missed it. You didn't hear that from me.
No, be serious.
No, I can't understand the word you're saying, mate, and you're as far out there as the anti-Semite. Let's see if David's line is working now. David, can you hear us now?
I can hear
David,
you.
David, are
hear
you
me.
There, David?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Is it his line, Sam, or is it us? Because I had problems hearing Mo.
I'm very much here. Hello? 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 Are you still, are you there? Hello? Oh, hello?
I'm trying.
Hello?
Oh.
Hello? Hello? Yeah, it's very quiet. I might have to be when I get home.
Hello?
Hello?
I'm still here. Yep.
I've got you on my hands free. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right, brilliant. Yeah, I can hear you now. I can hear you some more.
Who's
that? Can you still hear me?
I can, yes.
All right, brilliant. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about pets, really.
It's a general chat about a little bit about last night. I've never called in before. It's my first call into...
I've actually called in once before.
Just a general polite chat, to be honest.
Yeah. Exactly that.
Yeah, that's it.
Hello?
Hello, still here?
Hello. Sorry, yeah, because I'm in the car, I can't tell whether the talking is dropping or not. Hello?
I don't think it could be my kit, because I'm using a really good quality Bose headset, and then I'm moving to an iPhone headpiece, and then I'm going to my phone, so there's a problem, clearly, with the technical
side. Yeah, I think it's my car, buddy, because I've got your hands free in the car. Motorway, I think it's to do with that, to be honest with you. I can hear you really well.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, I've got the really good Bose noise-canceling headphones on, and they connect to my iPhone really well, so...
Right. So
can I call
you when I get out then? So I call you when I stop driving?
Yeah.
That's better. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, buddy, I'll do that. All right, no worries. Tell Ian, I'm sorry to hear about his cat, in case I don't end up getting through or whatever.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have a chat. Like I said, it's my first time calling in. I'm not I'm not ringing in to be an idiot. I'm ringing in just to have a pleasant chat and give some compliments, to be honest. So, that's it.
I think we've got crossed blinds here, mate. Do you think I'm from the radio?
It's Frank, innit?
No, I'm not on the radio, mate. I've called in myself. I think they've put two people by the sounds of it.
Have they?
It sounds like it, mate.
Who is that?
My name's Danny. I'm just calling in, mate, just for a chat.
And I'm ringing in for a chat, so we're connected.
I screwed me covered, mate. Jesus Christ.
How mad is this?
Are you then?
Yeah, I'm in Glasgow on a work trip, so I was just ringing
in. Where?
I'm in Glasgow. With work, yeah.
Don't sound very Glaswegian.
No, I'm not. I'm from Lancashire.
Yeah, I can tell that. My dad's from Lancashire.
Where are you from?
I'm from a place called Gosport in Hampshire. Like, far south as you can actually get in the UK. About
hitting
your feet wet.
Danny, the cross lines, mate. Don't worry about it.
Mate, crazy.
Listen,
what's your name, buddy?
Lovely to speak to you, mate. Take care.
And you, buddy. Take it easy, mate. Bye. This is funny. Bye.
Experience the unconventional.
Hello.
The unpredictable.
Don't you think that's a bit weird?
And the completely unorthodox.
It was my birthday.
With rule-free Ian Lee.
I was just trying to generate a bit of content.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Hate alarm clock. Hate going to work.
On Talk Radio.
New song from Paul McCartney. You didn't like it?
Well, Notify His Next of Kin. That's his wife, isn't it? We're too chuffed.
Oh, I like that. I think that's good. There's another one as well, which is not quite as good, but I like that.
Jolly, it was a groove.
It's just dropping tracks. Coldplay dropped a new album today. Robbie Williams dropped a new album today. Leonard Cohen dropped a new album today. Paul McCartney dropped two new songs today. We're living the dream. Sam, get your sweet little tush in this studio, boy. 0344-499-1000 is the phone number. What a week. What a week, personally and internationally and politically and cosmically and spiritually. So I think we could all do with a little bit of a break, a little bit of a pressure valve release. So we're taking calls straight to air all night tonight. 0344-499-1000. Call in about pretty much anything you want. Don't be libelous. Don't swear. There are a couple of other things because of where we are in terms of time. But we'll sort that out. Don't worry. I am Ian Lee. Who are you?
Catherine Boyle.
Who are you?
Sam.
Yes. Sam's in the studio with us. First things first. I have had builders in, as you know, and they've only been in for a couple of days, and they weren't in today because they had to get problems with their van, and I knew they weren't coming in, so it wasn't a surprise. And I got up quite late today. I got up about 12 o'clock today, which is great, and a lovely lie-in. And I got up, and I've got the main bathroom, which I never use, it's all been ripped out, and it's just wood, just floorboards and pipes, and that's it. And I've got like a tiny little ensuite that's got a toilet and a shower, and it's good enough for me. I'm a very simple man, very simple needs. And I got up and I had a shower. I had my daily Danufus, which is what my boys call a dump, and it blocked the toilet, right? So I'm there with the old toilet brush. And unblocked it. And I washed my hands and I just played with the cats and I got dressed and I went downstairs. And I went downstairs to my kitchen, which is underneath my big bathroom that's been completely stripped out. And the floor of the kitchen was covered in water. Covered. This is the second flood I've had since these workmen started in my house. The first one was on Wednesday and it was flooded and it got in all the drawers. This one didn't get in the drawers, but the floor was covered. I'm like, oh man. So I get the mop out and I'm mopping it up. And then I can see where it's coming through the ceiling. It's coming through a light fitting and it's coming through two bits of the ceiling. And here's the thing, Sam. The water that was coming through the ceiling was yellow.
You plunged too hard.
I plunged too hard. My ceiling was leaking pee. Pee all over my floor. Now, I'm lucky that it was yellow and not brown, because that would have been something else. But on this week of weeks, and I like my builder a lot. They're really nice guys, right? And I like them a lot. but I was not very happy. And I finally, what I said, dude, I got piss coming out of my ceiling. What are you going to do about it? He said, no, because they think I'm a comedian. Oh, you're joking, right? I said, no, I'm not joking. I've got pee coming out of my ceiling. You got to come and sort this out. And in fairness, he came over and he sorted it out. I think he sorted it out. I wasn't in. He told me he'd been. So that's been my day. Anyone else want to go next?
I can't beat that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. 0344 499 1000. As soon as I see a phone number flash up on my screen, I'm going to take it and put it straight through to her. I missed a couple there because of my urine-filled monologue. And everyone thought it was funny to make a little joke about it. Online, some people pay good money for that. Golden showers.
You're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
You're in leakage.
They were the band that were in with James last night, weren't they? Anyway, so that was so it's just and I was not, you know, it's been a tough old week with Velvet passing, and also not, you know, this has all happened on top of not feeling great anyway, and I've just stood there watching piss drip out of a light fitting of my ceiling and thinking,
what is my life,
man? What is my this is not what I was expecting. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Bastard!
Sorry, okay, I didn't quite hear that.
I did.
Okay, line two, you're on the wireless.
Ian, how are you doing?
Well, how do you think I'm doing? I've had urine coming through my light fittings.
Could be worse. Could have been a lot worse, couldn't it?
Yeah, I know. About it. I've done
what,
that.
What mate, plunging?
Mate, I've done that joke already. What are you phoning up? Just quoting back my best bits to me tonight? What is this?
Well, no, I've got a question. Something's troubling me. Okay. And I'm thinking you could be the man to help me.
Okay, I'm a very wise man. We've got Sam and we've got Catherine here as well. They're both very wise.
Sam, Catherine. They can help too.
Okay.
I'm out walking my dog. Okay. I'm picking up its business.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this lady walking along with a Labrador, obviously blind, and she's got a guide dog. And I'm thinking,
well, like he says, obviously she's blind. Like we knew that.
Well
obviously she's not blind to us.
Well, she might have been training the dog. But I'm thinking, who's picking up the guide dog poo?
Do the guide dogs do it themselves? This is part of the training process.
There you go.
Thanks very much for your call. You see, this is like the mystery hour, but entertaining. Line three, you're on the wireless.
Hi, Ian. Hi, Kath. Hi, Sam.
Hello.
Sam?
Hello.
Sam, say hello, Sam?
Yeah, hello.
Oh, thanks.
I do apologise.
Have you got the bell there? Because I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, God. Sorry, I don't know. Hang on.
Come on, don't do it begrudgingly. This is a big moment.
Right, say it.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome to the show! What's your name?
Thank you. My name is Gillian.
Gillian. I like the name Gillian.
Hello.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you ever go by Jill or Gilly?
I do, well, not Jilly, never Jilly, okay. No.
But Jill.
But Jill, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, all right.
I was wondering whether you have seen the statue of Jesus in Mexico that's been in the news recently.
The statue of the baby Jesus?
The baby Jesus, the 22-foot-tall baby Jesus that looked exactly like Phil Collins.
Yeah, I have seen it. Yeah. It's amazing. Now, I saw the picture and I saw the headline. I didn't read the story, Gillian, but Is it real? That's a real thing.
It's massive.
It's real and it's huge. And in the picture, you can see somebody standing next to it, and it was tiny.
Why would? I mean, it does. Catherine is showing it to me. Maybe you could tweet that out, Catherine. Those images. Why would? I mean, it's not even a little bit like Phil Collins. It's modeled. It looks like it's modeled on Phil Collins. Why would anyone do that?
It's a thing of beauty.
I'm not a religious man, Gillian, so I don't know, but maybe that's what Jesus looked like.
I think you're probably right.
Gillian, thank you very much indeed. 0344 499 1000. Getting a steady flow of calls. We'll rattle through these and then we'll have a little chitty chat. Hello, line five, you're on the wireless.
Good
good evening. First time caller, long time podcast listener. Ding ding.
There's no bell. No, no bell for that. No bell for that.
Oh. Anyway, I can answer the question about guide dogs and their business.
Yes, please.
They're trained to go on command, so the owner will have a command for you do a number two or do a number one.
No.
Well, they just put their hand underneath to catch it.
They've
not got to pick it up.
No, that can't be.
No. So they do it at home. They'll go in the garden and they'll say, go and do your business, and it'll go and do its business before they take the owner to the shop.
Now, what if it's a blind people can be mean. What if it's a mean blind person and they withhold the order for 4 days? Can the dog at any point manually override the lack of order?
You've got me now.
Okay, thanks. By the way, what are your qualifications?
No qualifications.
Thank you very much indeed. That's how we like it here. Let's go to line six. Six, you're on the wireless. Let me try again with the fader open this time. Hello, line six.
Good afternoon. How are you? Or good evening.
Good afternoon. Where are you calling from?
North Somerset.
Okay. Well, you are definitely stuck in a time warp. Yes.
Yes, I am. Rabbit Hole in Bath. I can't find tickets or a date for it.
Well, you're an absolute pudding. IanLee.com/event. Why haven't I put it up there yet?
I can't find the Bath
one. God, I might not have put it up there yet. Flipping it. No wonder we're not selling any. But that doesn't explain why we're not selling any for bloody Cardiff. Can you come to Cardiff?
Well, I suppose it's the same distance, isn't it? Hour on the train.
Come to Cardiff. I'll put the tickets up for Bath. I'll do it. I'll either do it Sunday or Monday.
Okay, mate. Also, Weinstein didn't commit suicide.
Say that again.
Weinstein didn't commit suicide.
No, he didn't. He's still alive.
Who's committed suicide?
Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein. What?
Weinstein's not.
You're talking about the other
Epstein.
Epstein.
Yeah, him. Him even.
What? I didn't even hear what
he said. Did he commit suicide?
No, he was. What? Why are we laughing?
It's a stupid joke thing.
Okay, thank you. What? Explain, Sam.
So there's been a few things like people getting interviewed on channels, and they'll do like a proper conversation with them, but then they'll end by saying, I want to say one more thing.
All right.
He didn't kill himself.
Thing is, that joke doesn't really work on this show because we've been saying it.
Yeah, but he was murdered. He was murdered. And also, you've got to get his name right, and also you've got to speak properly so that we can hear you. But looking forward to seeing you at the Shine Bath. Sold Birmingham, selling great guns. Great guns. Glasgow? Well, not bad. Cardiff? We can't shift them. Oh, you've got to come to Wales.
Don't do the accent. That might be it.
Okay, you've got to come to Wales. Everyone says you've got to come to Wales. We booked a show in Wales. No one is coming. IanLee.com/event. Buy some tickets for Wales, you scumbags.
There you go again.
What?
I think it might be your manner.
0344-499-1000. Call straight to air. The Late Night Alternative with Ian and Kath on Talk Radio.
Oh, you want me to go and
do it? I'll go and do it.
This is the floor in the plan, isn't it?
No.
Let's see how this goes.
I can do it. It's just the big button. This is easy, dude.
Yeah, but then you got to do a couple other.
I can do...
How long do we give it before you go in and help him?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Right, now.
Yes, because the door is not soundproof. Don't whisper.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
So this microphone is on?
Yeah.
Right, fine. Well, why are you being dicks about it? Right, here we go. I reckon, is this fader up?
What?
For the advert fader?
Yes.
Fine, well, I'll just do this.
Radio. Contact Talk Radio. Call 0344-499-1000. Text Talk and your message to 87222. Texts cost 25 pence plus your standard network rate. Or you can
Easy.
At Talk Radio.
This is Talk Radio.
Okay, guys. Okay. Yep,
that's a bit of an abrupt ending.
I don't really know what I'm doing.
Sloppy work.
See, it's difficult.
Sound again, guys.
Standing
by, guys. Yes. Hang on, let me turn this off. You do the show, do the bloody show, do everything. Right in the dead.
desk. I'm doing the show. Yeah. I like to get my hands dirty.
I wish you wouldn't.
I like to get my hands dirty.
Sorry, did he say something? I'm deaf. I can't hear anything now.
Let's go to our good friend, Line 1. Hello, Line 1.
What's that?
Oh, it's 1995.
The What's Up guys. The What's Up guys were cute. I remember the What's Up. Do you remember What's Up?
Yeah, but I don't know what it originally
was. It was an advert for Budweiser.
Right.
And it was these guys, like party guys.
Knobheads.
And they would phone up their friend and go, What's Up? Right. But it became huge. I remember them being guests on the Jonathan Ross show. The What's Up guys. And they were from an advert. And all they did was go, What's Up? Who were they? Were they... Because were they comedians or who? First question of the night. This is what it's going to be. Kind of just going to sit and chat. If you, by the way, if you want to get heavy tonight, whoa, I'm up for that. We will go anywhere you want to go tonight. Kath's got a box of Maltesers. The Maltesers in a box are the finest Maltesers. They are hand-picked. They're better than the ones in the packet. They're hand-picked. Spit and polished by Kelly Brook and Melinda Messenger. So if you want to phone up with heavy stuff, we'll do that. If you want to go a little bit political, we'll do that within the confines of what's going on. If you want to phone up and make silly noises, we will do that as well. I'll have some in a second. I'm working. 03-444-991-1000. Now, I've got an email. This is quite a long email, but I'm going to read it out. It's from someone called Charles Sibley. ian@ianlee.com.
Thanks for making a mess.
ian@ianlee.com. If you want to email me or Kath, we both get the emails. Dear Ian Lee, sorry to bother you, but a lady I did a reading for, already I'm in, this morning, said I should get in touch to your radio show, as you will be interested in my area of expertise. She listens to your DJ show,
mm-hmm.
and is called Carol and lives in Wirral, United Kingdom. We've had her, we've spoken to her.
Jackie. It's Jackie that phones us.
Okay. Let me introduce myself. My name is Charles J. Sibley, and I'm a psychic, physical, spiritualist medium, paranormal investigator from the Wirral, United Kingdom, with over 30 years' experience. I realised, I'm going to read it exactly as it's written as well. I realised the importance of having such a gift after my spirit guides made me aware that I must share this gift with others in order to heal and help guide. I am only an instrument and use my body and my mind to channel the spirit world, a.k.a. heaven. I only recently found out what a.k.a. stands for. Do you know what a.k.a. means? You know, it goes, if I were to say, for example...
Yeah, I know what a.k.a. is. I just don't know what it...
Okay, go on then.
Well...
What?
So it's like saying, I like crisps, a.k.a. Doritos.
No.
It's like saying, it's like saying, I like the reboot of Jurassic Park, a.k.a. Jurassic World. Yeah. Yeah. It is a reboot of Jurassic Park, and a.k.a. Jurassic World. So, yeah.
Don't need it.
Isn't it a sequel?
No. Are you nuts?
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
This is what I was saying an hour ago. So I'm in Costa with my cat. One of my four cats. Yeah. The car was in the MOT, right, and it was booked in for 10. I got it in at 9:45. He then said, oh, I'll call you at 10:45. No, 11:45.
Right.
That's what he said. Call you at 10:45. No, 11:45. Thought, oh, okay, 11:45 is a bit longer than I thought. Fanny about. Then I'm sat in the Costa again for the second time. And then at 10:50, I thought, I'll phone them. Hi, I just found out to see if my car... Oh, yeah, it's done.
Oh, I hate that.
They knew I had a cat in a basket.
Maybe they were dog people.
there was a dog there. And I said, oh, any problems? Yeah, the brake pads are, just flagging up the brake pads, got a little bit of rust on them, but they're fine. Anyway, so I'm sat in there. Here's something. My two new cats, my brother and sister, my boy and girl, got to get them done in January. It's a little bit earlier than they're meant to be done, but he could get her pregnant.
My God.
He could get hit. George could get Patty pregnant. I know they're named after George Harrison and Patty Boyd, the Beatle and his first wife, but these are brother and sister.
Yeah, not appropriate.
And it would be inappropriate. Although, a three-legged, one-eyed cat, that's kind of cute, doesn't it? That's kind of cute. Anyway, I don't want them. I don't want him getting his sister pregnant.
No.
Call me old-fashioned.
Not under your roof.
No. But a woman is great. It's a great leg opener having a cat in a Costa.
Oh my God! Did you just use that phrase? That's horrible.
It's a great leg opener. Admittedly, the legs are in their 80s, but boy, oh boy, it really does get the older women very, very hot. Under the belt. I think you know what I mean. Jelly bean. You know what I see, Catherine Moore.
Don't jelly bean me.
Okay. Well, I didn't jelly bean anyone, if you, truth be told. But it did get a lot of old women started talking to me.
Okay. Well, can you just say that instead of leg opener? Because that made me want to
puke.
Can you just say that? Like, you got a lot of old women talking to me rather than a leg opener. Because that's out of order.
You've said it twice now.
It's horrible, isn't it?
You said it.
It's really horrible.
You've said it twice.
It's horrible.
I've only said it once.
I had someone shout that in the street at me once.
No, you did. Say shout what?
Nice legs. When do they open? Isn't that horrible? Isn't that horrible?
That is
that's horrible. If you do it again, I will kick you in the nuts.
Would you like me to open my legs? But so a woman came up to me, and she said, "All
isn't that horrible though."
What?
When do they open?
That's horrible. Yes, I didn't. But I didn't say that.
You didn't say it to their faces. You thought it though. It's obviously there.
I didn't shout what
that,
time.
That phrase has been floating around in your mind for some
what
time.
What time do your legs open? I would never say that.
But you referred to it as a leg opener.
Yes.
That's obviously something you're used to thinking. Wow.
Just saying.
Ew.
Just saying.
Ugh.
To any young guys out there.
Don't.
Take a cat into a coffee shop. If you would like, all right, what was it? Like them to talk to you. Is that better?
Better.
Okay, fine. Unbelievable. Don't know what you can and can't say these days.
Well, let me help you. That's okay. One you can't.
Just remind me.
Referring to something as a leg opener.
Okay, three times now. Once, 3-1. Here's what a lady said to me when she was talking to me. All tabby cats. Sorry?
Just nothing.
You need to let it lie now. All, you should have seen them though. All tabby cats have an M on their foreheads.
Yeah, for massive pervert.
All tabby cats have an M on their foreheads. I was like, what? She said, yeah, they do. I said, what are you talking about? Then I looked at Patty. She has an M on her forehead. I'm now looking at a picture of George. I'm going to retweet it. I'm retweeting it now.
Ah.
He's got an M on his forehead.
So what you've got there is McCats.
Here is...
McKittens.
Here is the thing, right? So all tabby cats have got an M on their forehead. That turns out it's a fact. Now, her reasoning, I'm not sure, is so real. She says it's because Muhammad likes tabby cats the best. This is Muhammad. And he would touch them on the forehead. And it would bless them. And that's why all tabby cats have got an M on their forehead.
Turns out that's
the
is
truth.
A tale.
Is that a fact?
That's a tale.
That's a fact. So that is something I learned today. That tabby cats are the favourite of Mohammed. Can I ask a question?
Is that the Arabic character for an M though? This seems like a very...
Westernized.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
No, this is actually culturally sensitive.
Okay, well, be careful.
Who is Mohammed?
Mm-hmm.
And who is Allah?
The prophet is Muhammad.
So Muhammad, so Jesus is in the Bible as a prophet, is in the Quran as a prophet. Muhammad is the main prophet.
Yes.
I'm not being flippant. I genuinely don't know.
And
he's
Allah
the number one.
It's the word for God.
So Allah is, and Allah is an old dude that sits up in heaven, in paradise, I guess.
I don't know about the imagery, because you're not allowed to reproduce
not
images,
allowed to draw
are you?
Him.
No.
Are you allowed to describe
but
him?
Actually, in the Ottoman Empire, they were allowed. Their tradition, they were allowed to. You weren't allowed to reproduce anything that was made by Allah. So
okay.
no natural, you weren't even allowed to draw flowers or anything.
Okay.
But they could do abstract things.
Okay.
But actually there is an Ottoman tradition where they were allowed to draw people.
I don't know the Ottomans. Do they live near you?
We fought against them a lot. Like, have you ever read...
The Turks?
The Turks.
Okay. My knowledge of history is pretty good, but this is a thin point.
Mm-hmm.
The Ottoman Empire is a thin point.
The Turks.
But they were Turks.
And they ran
Those guys were... let's not beat around the bush. They were crazy.
Mm-hmm. There was that's the contention that the Western world had, but we were the crazy ones to them.
On horsebacks with those
sabers.
Kind of bent swords. Mm-hmm. Just chop it away.
That's what
I imagine.
Yeah.
That's what I imagine. Okay. Okay. Well, there you go. 0344-499-1000 is the phone number. There we go. We're getting pictures of tabby cats. They've all got the M on their forehead, so that is true.
Tales of mystery and imagination on the radio show that does things differently.
Dolly Parton, I listen to a record that they love.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I'm a nut job, but not that kind of nut job.
On Talk Radio.
Honest to God, it's the new Breaking Bad.
Oh, no.
What have you got, Boyley?
So many things. What about this?
Go on.
This is one wild tale.
Yeah,
this is from the NY Post, and they know how to tell a tale.
Here we go.
An Argentine woman rescued a cuddly abandoned kitten, only to learn 2 months later that the new pet was actually a wild puma.
I'm being told that donkeys have crosses on their backs.
Yes.
I'm just Googling.
It's true.
Really?
Oh, everyone knows that.
I didn't know that. Donkey back.
Donkey back. Careful what you get. Donkeys, crosses.
Hey,
they do.
Flipping heck, did you know this? They've got a full-on cross on their back because of Jesus. What is it with these prophets marking animals? Leave the animals alone.
Just little remembrances.
Incredible scenes. Okay, yes.
An Argentine woman rescued a cuddly abandoned kitten, only to learn 2 months later that the new pet was actually, Ian, a wild puma.
No!
Florencia Lobo said she and her brother found the furry feline along with another young kitten next to a dead adult at the Tucumán province.
What? An adult cat,
I guess.
Right.
In northwestern Argentina and took them both home. We thought that it was an abandoned cat who'd given birth, she told Reuters. One of the kittens was too weak and didn't survive, but the second, a male, made it through the ordeal. Lobo nursed him back to health and named him Tito. 2 months later, she took Tito to the vet.
Tito Puente. Who's Tito Puente?
He's a musician, a band leader.
Band leader.
Tito means uncle.
Uncle Puente. What does Puente mean?
Bridge.
Uncle Bridge. Welcome.
But Tito, I think, also can be short for,
Titolia? Titolia?
Titolia?
Titolia? Is that a word?
No.
If I say enough sounds in a foreign accent...
You'll come across... Yeah, it's like when kids say... You start rhyming things.
Oh, by the way, thank you... I can't remember her name, who sent me the clip of, I'm so sorry, my eyes gone complete blank. Brilliant clip. We talked about kids swearing last week. A brilliant clip of a kid, trying to say cow.
Oh, yeah.
But it comes out as the C word.
Yeah, repeated.
It's
and very determined.
Funniest.
And the dad says, they are cows. And he goes, no, they are. And he says it.
Let me find that. Let me find that and retweet that, because that is one of the best clips I've seen. I mean, I even want to feel like playing it. Of course, we can't. Go on. So
Tito Puente's real name was Ernesto Antonio.
Yep.
But Tito is like uncle. For example, my kids have got Spanish godparents, and they call them auntie and uncle. In Spanish, that's Tito and Tita.
Oh, it's been Emily Jane. Thank you, of course. That tweet's been taken down because it's the C word.
Because of the C-bomb. It's the one thing you can't say on Twitter.
Oh, you can hate on the Jews. You can hate on the Muslims. You can
be racist and sexist.
Whatever you want.
You can make death threats. Remember when we had that?
We had death threats, yeah.
And we had someone posing as someone else, and we told the someone else, and they complained about it, and it still got left up.
Yeah. Angry Emily Jones.
What they like, eh? So she nursed this thing back to health, and named him Tito. 2 months later, she took Tito to the vet for a checkup and got an unexpected prognosis. The vet didn't know what it was, but said it was not a normal cat, Lobo said. Her name means wolf. At the vet's recommendation, at the vet's recommendation, she took Tito to the Orcomoye Nature Reserve, where staffers confirmed that the cat was a jaguarundi, a small wild cat found in South America and in southern North America.
But is it cute?
Yeah, cute as. Look, it's a little sweetie.
Oh, baby! It looks like a monkey.
Yeah, it's beautiful. A jaguarundi.
So what? You can't keep
it. Been taken to a nature reserve.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look.
Oh, it doesn't look like a cat.
It doesn't. Oh, it looks like a...
No.
It looks a bit like a tiger cub, doesn't it?
That would rip your face off, man.
Yeah, jaguarundi. Wow, that's funny. So, yeah, she did a nice thing and she nearly got her head ripped off.
This is the problem.
Watch yourselves.
This is it. Don't take cats. Is my advice.
Don't take cats.
We have got a phone call. But I would rather not take this phone call. So what I'm going to do is we're going to go to play a trail for a colleague of mine. And hopefully we'll have another phone call lined up because I don't want to talk to this guy because he's a jerk.
Why?
He's a jerk.
Why not?
Shut up. So 0344 499 1000.
David Babcock. Shut up. Line.
Shut your face. 0344 499 1000. I would, any calls we get, I will put in front of this loser because he's just getting on my nerves. He's cheating. We're playing Call of Duty at the weekend.
COD. COD.
COD MW.
Who's the goat at COD?
Well,
I'll tell you what I am. Me.
David Babcock uses aimbots.
No, I don't.
Uses aimbots. Actually used aimbots and camped.
No, it's impossible. No, it's impossible to use that on PS4. I can't hack it. I'm just really good.
It's impossible. How do you know it's impossible? You Googled it. So you actually Googled aimbots. Wow.
Oh.
This is what we're dealing with.
Kathleen, I was brilliant. I won 3 rounds in a row.
Thank you very much.
Sounds like you did it.
So I don't want to talk to that guy because he's a jerk. Camping and aimbots. 0344 499 1000. Any calls we get, I will take them before that loser. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. On air and off the leash. On Talk Radio.
David Babcock's on the line. David Babcock. On the line, nobody can beat him at Call of Duty. Yes, that's where he shines. Ian Lee is a big smelly pooler.
Okay, thank you very much, David. Don't forget that your actual day job, and this is true, is sexing hens.
Yeah.
Sexing hens.
Chicks.
Right, I supervise the birthing of eggs.
The birthing of eggs. The birthing of eggs, right? Okay.
What would you call it? What would you call it?
Hatching?
No, I don't watch them hatch, actually. That's a different department.
Okay.
Oh, you see them. Oh, you see
how
them.
How can
get
you
popped
tell
out?
If a. Can you tell if a chick is a boy chick or a girl chick?
I don't really care. What we do is we flash freeze them and that kills them in the egg, and then that's how you get your nice running eggs on toast.
Well, no, hang on, but an egg isn't. No, hang on a minute.
No.
An egg is a period.
You can say, if you get fresh eggs from a farm, you can put them in an incubator and grow a chicken.
Only if there's been a... No, come on. This is fake news.
Grow a chicken.
There has to have been a cock involved at some point, doesn't there?
Well, that's David's department, but... yeah, right. The egg has to be first... A male
hen has to ejaculate over the egg.
Don't be coy, they're called cockerels.
Okay, a male cock has to get his cockerel and ejaculate over an egg inside
over an egg.
A female hen's bum.
What?
Female hen's bum.
What?
Do you not even know that?
Little biology lesson. How do you think the egg is made without the interference of the cock?
Well, I don't know. It just gestates in the lady hen's
cloaca.
Uterus.
They've got a cloaca, haven't they?
If the egg comes out, if you put them in an incubator, 4 days later, chick. What we do is we flash freeze them, bang.
Bang.
Egg on toast.
Okay. I tell you what I bought the weekend. Here's my problem with Amazon, right? Here's my problem with Amazon. You know, if you order something early enough, sometimes it'll say same day delivery.
Yeah.
Never does it. Never does same day delivery, right? So and I do that sometimes with the boys. I'll go, we'll get that and we'll have it. It never, ever comes on the same day, comes the next day. Well, what's the point? I ordered a Breville.
Oh, yeah.
My boys wanted a Breville sandwich, toasted sandwich.
I've got one of them.
And I said, I said, look, if there's one every time they come round, have you got a sandwich toaster? Like, mum has. And I have one. I said, all right, I tell you what, if it's under 25 quid, I'm going to order it now. $24.99. Same day delivery. I said, we're going to be having cheese toasties by midnight. But we didn't. It didn't come till the next day. Yeah. By that point, didn't fancy them. Didn't want them. So now I've got a Breville. And I've got no need for a Breville.
There's always need for a Breville.
Have you got a Breville, David?
Yeah.
Okay. And what's... Jesus, it's hard.
What'd you put in your Breville?
I tell you, I mean, you can argue if you want, but it's futile. The best filling for a cheetah toasty.
Do it.
Well, it's cheese, beans and onion.
He's absolutely right.
I'm with you until the onion. No, there's no need for that.
I'm going to be honest.
That's over elaborate.
He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. No, the onion gives it that just a little bit of crunch.
No, mate.
Yeah,
no.
He's right. Thank you, David. Thank you.
It's texture.
It's the thing about when you put things in your mouth, and David well knows this, it's not just the taste of the thing. It's not just, you know, the moisture or the stiffness or whatever. It's the texture. So there's just a little something extra in the mouth. It just goes down a treat, doesn't it, David?
It's just too lumpy.
Right. Am I on, or is this a prelude?
This is on. You're on. This is the show. This is as good as it gets. No one phoned in. No one's listening. So we've got to listen to this rubbish.
Well, I've got an actual story of about the Sphinx. You doing the Sphinx?
Sphinx or Sphinx?
Sphinx. Are you doing Sphinx?
I can't really understand what you're saying.
You're saying Sphinx?
We're not doing Egypt. I mean, if you want to talk about the Sphinx, you can do. The mystery of the Sphinx.
The riddle.
The riddle of the Sphinx. With David Babcock. Let's answer that mysterious...
Have you got some music for that?
Riddle. I have got...
Some Sphinx music.
Here we go. Hang on a second. Stay there. Hang on. Exciting Egyptian Sphinx music. Here we go. Exciting.
Can't wait for this, David. Thanks for bringing it up.
Here we go.
I was always fascinated by this stuff.
This is entitled Egyptian Type Beat Sphinx. Here we go. Here we go. The mystery, ladies and gentlemen, the mystery of the Sphinx.
In walks someone with a rolled up carpet on their shoulder. They unfurl it and out pops...
David Babcock. For centuries, the Sphinx has puzzled mankind. Was it built by the slaves? Were the Egyptians really from another planet, possibly Mars, several million years ago? That's the most likely one.
Oh, that time tunnel thing.
But nobody really understands the riddle of the Sphinx. Until tonight, the Late Night Alternative Productions are proud to present to you a one-off lecture from the King of Fact. Please welcome. He's traveled all the way around the world. He's busy sexing chickens. Tonight, answering your questions about the riddle of the Sphinx. It's David Babcock.
03444991000.
Your questions to famed Egyptologist David Babcock. We hand over now live to a live lecture coming from
Baghdad in the heart of Egypt. Where David Babcock is addressing the hordes of people that have turned up to find the answer to one of life's greatest mysteries. Just what is the riddle of the Sphinx? And what is the answer to the riddle of the Sphinx? We go live now to David Babcock.
There's a bloke at work who's got false teeth, and someone once saw him take the teeth out, clean them in the sink, all over the cups of people. Riddle of the Sphinx. Hello, you on the Riddle of the Sphinx? Sounds like you are a Sphinx.
Hello?
Live. Go ahead. Yeah, come on, quick. What?
What, me?
Yeah.
Alright, are you that David, the guy that deals with cocks and hens and stuff?
Chickens mainly, yes.
Alright, well, I just had to ring up and, because I was just sitting in it and I was thinking, oh my god, how does this guy not know what he's doing with chicken? Alright.
He'll go on.
Yeah, my gran used to keep geese and hens. My stepbrother currently keeps hens and chickens. And basically, the chickens produce eggs on a monthly cycle or a weekly cycle. It might be different. I'm not a poultry expert, but you know, like women, human women, they do something called ovulation, and what happens is the ovary produces an egg, passes it down the fallopian tube into the womb, and then if there is sperm involved in, you know, the process, then a sperm will fertilize the egg in the womb and it will grow into a baby. But then if there's no sperm involved, when the woman has a period, that is the lining of the womb being shed along with the unfertilized egg. Now, with chickens, they produce eggs the same as human women produce eggs on a monthly basis. And so an egg that we eat is an unfertilized chicken embryo. And if a cock is involved and the egg becomes fertilized, then it will eventually hatch into a little chick. But if there's no cock involved and there's no sperm to fertilize the egg, it will just basically remain as an unfertilized embryo. So you will have a fresh egg that you can fry up and eat, or if you leave it for a long time, it will go off. And the way you can tell if an egg's gone off, you can put it in a pan of cold water, and if it floats, it means it's gone off because an air bubble has formed in the egg as it's deteriorating, and the chemical sort of structure of the egg is deteriorating. An air bubble will form and the egg will float. So if you put an egg in a pan of water and it floats, there's an air bubble in it, and it's an old mouldy egg. But if you put it in the water and it sinks, it's a good egg. You can cook it and eat it. But the egg will not turn into a chicken unless it is fertilised by the sperm of a cock.
Yep, you're listening to the Riddle of the Sphinx.
Okay, I thought you said Riddle of the Sphincter. Sorry, I got confused.
Very cheap gag there, but as the old saying goes, don't teach a bad cock how to look after eggs. Absolutely nonsense.
Is that like you can mix horse to water, but you can't make a drink?
Oh, you're still on, are you? What you've just taught, the most babble I've actually ever heard in one sitting with no pudding.
Really? That's incredible, because...
You've been reading too much Wikipedia.
I don't read Wikipedia, because any old schmuck can go on there and self-edit entries and stuff. That's why Wikipedia's complete bullshine, because anybody can go on there and make stuff up.
Riddle me this way, guy. I work at a chicken factory. You have given all of your information via proxy.
Yes, but no, I've given information because members of my family have had chickens since I was about 2 years
old. Members of my family. I work with bloody chickens, son.
Yes, so how do you think a chicken will lay an egg, and if you incubate it, it will hatch into a chick? It has to be fertilised.
It gets fertilised to make the egg, you bulldink.
No, it doesn't. The egg gets produced. Like, again, I'll take you back to the human part of it, okay? Women produce an egg in the ovary, and it travels down the fallopian tube into the womb.
You're getting very mistaken. The egg is the baby.
No, it's not. It's an unfertilised baby, so it isn't an actual living embryo.
Having worked with chickens once a month, unless they're fertilised...
Did you do biology and chemistry at school and college?
I work with chickens on a daily basis. Chickens once a month, unless it's fertilised, a chicken comes on the period just like a woman does.
Yeah, that is exactly what I've just said to you. I've said a woman produces an egg once a month, and if that egg is not fertilised by a sperm, the lining of the womb is shed along with the unfertilised egg, which is what a woman's period is. Now, a chicken will crap eggs out all day and all night, but if there's no sperm involved, the eggs will be unfertilised and they will remain eggs that you can eat until they go off. But if the sperm hasn't fertilised the egg will not turn into a chick. It has to be fertilised.
What a fool believes. If the cock sprays its semen into the chicken's egg hole, yummy yummy, eggs for my breakfast.
At last, the secret that has been kept for centuries has been answered. You now know the riddle of the Sphinx.
Moonlit musings for mums, madams, and meat packers.
Never mind, I must have misheard.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
The station's brilliant.
On Talk Radio.
And I was thinking a lot about the strawberries. If you didn't see it, I'm a Celebrity a couple of years ago. Me and thick boxer Amir Khan stole some strawberries from some people. And it became a very controversial big thing within the confines of that. And it became a bit of a story outside. And at the weekend, I was in a restaurant with my boys. And as we left, one of the waiters said, do you want any strawberries? And I've made real peace with that line now. For a while, it would really get... I'd be all, oh, right, is that the best you got? Really, right. But I get it now. I get it. I created, along with Amir, I created an iconic piece of television. Don't, you know, I'm aware it's not... I was about to say, mate, not as iconic as Who Shot JR, but do you know what? Actually... God damn it, yes it is. It's not like man landing on the moon.
No, but it's up there with Nasty Nick and The Note.
Yeah. I made an iconic piece of television when really I was doing it for Kath and my mate Scott Balcony. Before I was doing it, I was thinking, will Scott and Kath laugh? And I was there for a long time, and I thought, yes, they'll laugh. Can I survive the fallout that will happen in the camp when this comes out? Because it will come out at some point. And I thought, yes, I could. I didn't realise it would get quite as nasty as it eventually did. Otherwise, maybe I wouldn't have done it. But my overriding thing was, will my two of my closest friends find it funny? And it was, yeah, I think they will. So I did it to make you laugh, Catherine, and I did it to make Scott laugh, who doesn't listen to the show anymore because he's a knobber.
Is it because of the Babadook?
Maybe it's the Babadook. And I was thinking, how dare I get grumpy with people remembering something I did on a TV show? How dare I get grumpy? I should be proud of that. Name one other bit from the 2017 I'm a Celebrity. I've not watched it, so I don't know. Name one other bit that springs to mind.
The bit where you jumped off that plane. That was lovely. That you thought you were going to die. Admittedly.
But
and the bit with you in the swimming pool where, again, you thought you were going to die.
I thought I was going to die. But name, if you're just like a regular thing, I don't want to big myself up too much. But if you name one other bit that happened in that show 2 years ago. First thing that comes to mind is the strawberries for most people. Brilliant. I'll take that. And I'm really thrilled. I tell you what swung it round for me is when this new series of I'm a Celebrity started, I started getting so many tweets from people that don't even listen to the show. Going, looking forward to this series, but nothing will be as iconic as these two. Picture of me and Amir giggling over some strawberries. And I thought, wow, God, that really, I'm not bigging myself up. Please, please, please don't think, you know, I get what it is. It's a funny 2 minutes on a reality TV show. It isn't, you know, there's a brood of footage or it's, you know, it's nothing of any great import. But people 2 years later sending me a screenshot or just atting me saying this is iconic. That's incredible.
But you know why?
It's that's incredible.
People, right, that show has been on for, had been on for such a long time.
Yeah.
Like Big Brother, that people felt watching that they'd seen it all and that the people going on knew what the trick was. It's not like the first series when everyone's going in as an experiment and it's more natural in some ways because people aren't completely conscious of what they're going to get out of it, which is the way sometimes it comes across on reality TV shows these days. So this was completely out of the blue. Yep. The fact that you subverted the usual let's all get together campers and let's all do it for the good of the group and did something naughty. And do you know what? The extra camps, they were all loving it. They're all loving it. Joel Dommett was saying, I've been waiting for someone to do that for ages. Ant and Dec thought it was hilarious.
Oh, well, I knew the game and it was fun and I created something that actually I'm very proud of and my boys still laugh when people mention the strawberries. I'm in.
And here's the spoiler. He wasn't taking a hearty meal out of the mouths of his campmates. They were going to get one strawberry each.
Yeah, exactly.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
About expectations, about celebrity, about friendships and about barriers, I guess.
Boundaries.
Boundaries, thank you. There's been a few things the last couple of days that have really struck me as peculiar. They've got me angry. They've got me upset. They've got me annoyed. They've got me scratching my head and going, what? And I tell you what it is, right? I tell you what it is. Yeah, yesterday I was saying how I've muted some of you on Twitter, right? And I have. But what I then saw was loads of people going, I think he's muted me. Oh, I bet he's muted. Why would he mute me? Loads of people. And I saw it because I hadn't muted those people.
The thing is, for some of those people, that progressed into feelings of anger, hurt.
Yep.
And then they got insulting about someone who hadn't muted them.
And I'm sure there are people talking about it that I have muted, right? And that's fine. The way I choose to curate my Twitter feed is my business. Now, when I'm talking about me, I guess I'm kind of talking about all of us, okay? But all I can do is share my experience, right? So some people got very, very angry. And there was someone last night got very angry and then walked it back when it was pointed out to them that what they were saying was actually a little bit nuts. So they walked it back. But saying that it was selfish. Well, here's one. Here's someone. And I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want to embarrass people. Some of you will know. Some of you won't. Here's one. He's a very talented man, but he's also very selfish and rude, muting and blocking supportive fans who have done everything for him. Now, I'll block you if you're abusive to me or someone I like, or if you're you're rude. If you're rude and abusive, rude and or abusive to me or someone I like, and that could be Kath, that could be my sister, that could be, I don't think anyone has been actually, or that could be just, you know, a listener to the show. Who's, if you're rude or abusive, that's, I'm going to block you, right? Yeah, and that's fine to do that. And if you're just a little bit needy or entitled or repetitious or demanding too much of my attention, I'll mute you. And that's fine. I'm not telling you off, not criticizing you. I'm hardly ever discussing it. If I do discuss it, I discuss it with Kath, but we don't really go, hey, I muted these people today. But I might say, oh, I muted such and such just because they were saying the same thing over and over again.
Do you know when the only time it comes up is when people think that they can get to you through me.
Yeah.
And I'll say, what's this?
This person then sent another tweet. Ian Lee's a twat, basically, but his show is still good. And that's fine. Okay. But
gosh, and then basically I've got, is such a tricky word.
Then I've got people messaging me, and because I don't reply or respond or click like, they then message me through someone else going, don't know if you can see that, but this is coming just in case they got muted. And then I had an email today, right, from someone I have asked politely to stop messaging me. I have told aggressively to stop messaging me. I have reported them to the police. I've reported them to my boss. I've ignored them. I've told them the truth, that their messages scare me and make me feel very, very uncomfortable. Okay, and again, I'm not going to mention any names. So this person messaged me again today. Ian, I'm just a listener that really enjoys the show you do. I can't even remember how I got to the point in your mind of being a stalker. You've got me so damn wrong, it's not funny. You get emails from listeners all the time. I'm no different. I don't like listening to you referring to the email I sent about your cat, sent with the utmost sincerity, calling me a nutjob and a scumbag. That really hurts, and to be honest, it really sends me into a spiral of self-loathing, hatred, and doubt about the person I am and how I've been perceived. I made a mistake a long time ago with the sending pictures to listeners, but did I hear that you did something similar so you could hopefully relate to doing stupid things under the influence of certain mindsets? I came on air and publicly apologized for that behavior, so why don't you cut me some slack? Why is it that you get to tell me how you feel about the way I make you feel, but the consequences of you doing so, the feelings of me hating myself, isn't allowed to be just as valid? Honest to God, you've got me wrong, but none of it matters, as we don't even know each other, never have and never will. I'm just a listener, a follower, that's all. Just wanted to be understood. My God, there's so much in there, and I'm aware that by reading it, I'm actually very nervous reading it, because I am opening a can of worms. That person, please, I'm not mentioning your name, I'm really asking you to stop contacting me. You scare me. You scare me. The pictures you sent are not the reason that I don't want you contacting me. It's the persistence and the insistence that we have something that scares me. Why is it that you get to tell me how you feel about the way I make you feel? Because this is my job. This is my life. This is my livelihood. My job is to come on this radio station, sit in front of this microphone and try and do something that isn't talking about Brexit, isn't talking about anti-Semitism, isn't talking about Islamophobia, isn't talking about did Joe Swinson have a bad or a good debate. It's to try and make something different. And that involves me sharing a lot more of me than any other radio presenter I can think of, certainly in this country, probably in the world, possible exception Howard Stern. I can't think of any other radio presenter that shares this much. God, I came out to you guys, but before I told people that were close to me, you know, I've shared so much. So I do get to say how I feel. And if people want to phone up 03444991000 and share how you feel, you're very, very welcome to do that. I'm also very accessible. 15 hours a week, you can phone me. Several hours a week, I'll be streaming on Twitch where you can come and chat. 3 hours a month, me and Catherine do a phone-in podcast around the country. Really accessible, right? So, yeah, I get to say how I feel. You don't have to listen. You don't have to listen. You can switch off at any point. I'm addressing this person. I'm addressing kind of everyone. He's just texted us.
God, yes.
He's just texted us, and now I feel sick. Stop listening. I do not belong to you. I am not a part of you. I am nothing to do with you. Stop listening. And the same, and I don't want it to be about this person. This is a broader thing. These tweets last night really made me think we need to, I am not your friend in the way that some of you think I am. And this is about me, but this is also about celebrity in general. We hear Nigel, for example, talking about how Miley Cyrus is his friend and stuff. And it's really difficult to get through to him that she's not. She doesn't know who he is. She doesn't know anything about him, right? And we all, a lot of us all think if we could just meet our favourite singer, or if we could just meet our favourite actor or our favourite comedian, we'd get on so well. There's a bit of me that thinks that. A lot of the guests I've had on in the past, I've got them in because I thought I'd really like to be their friend. So I've been doing it as well. And over the past 20 years, I've become friends with three of them. Steve Guttenberg, Bare Naked Ladies, and Stephen Page. Fine. And Imani, actually. Imani, four. But there's a part of me that wants to be friends with people that can communicate with me, whether it's, for me, it's primarily, it's through music. I think I want to be friends with them. They just want to sell a record, man. I just want to sell a radio show. Here's the thing. I love talking to you lot so much. I love my job. My job is to make my best friend in the world laugh. And if he's not listening, then I've got to try and make Catherine laugh. That's a joke. She's giving me the finger. That's my job, is to come in and hang out with my best mate and make her laugh. And I get double points if I hear Sam laughing through the glass. That's a double little Brucey bonus. Oh, okay. That's my job. That's it. And we work in such a way that we, as well as making you laugh, we kind of share a lot of stuff. And we're trying to create something new and something bold and something different. And it's looking like it's starting to work in terms of the conventional, you know, numbers going up. And we're getting some amazing calls coming in. My God, I had so many people tweeting me today about the legend of the Sphinx. The riddle of the Sphinx. Oh, if you missed it from last night's show, it's the podcast. It's so funny. So it's supposed to be a serious lecture, but it ended up being talking about eggs. So funny, and I'm so proud of it. I didn't do anything. I played some silly Egyptian music and sat back and was stifling my laughter. But I'm so proud, Kath, that we allowed something like that to happen on our show. And so many people got in touch. That's it. I am not your friend. A couple of you I have become friends with. And now I've realised I've planted a seed in some people going, well, he means me. I can name them if you want. I can name who I've become friends with. I'm not your friend. I don't owe you anything more than the 3 hours a night I give you. I give you a lot, man. I give you a lot. And so, again, I don't want this to make someone, so do your pop stars. So do your film stars. So do your comedians. So do your YouTubers. So do whoever it is you look up to. Maybe it's other radio hosts. That's all I owe you. That's it. That's all. And so to be upset that I don't like a tweet, I don't respond to a tweet, I don't reply to an email, I maybe didn't spend as much time talking to you at an event as you would have. It's really unfair. It's really unfair. And quite possibly it's my fault to a certain extent. It's my fault that maybe I've created. Marcus and David, stay there. I'll be there in a bit. Maybe it's my fault by being too open, by sharing too much. But I don't want to change that. So I guess, what am I trying to say? I don't know. I'm not telling you off. Please don't want anyone to think they're being told off, right? No one's being told off. I'm so grateful that you choose to listen to this show. So grateful. So grateful you, some of you come to our live shows. I'm so grateful that we made $3,000 for the Samaritan selling a silly book. So grateful that I've had to post out another 15 singles and rabbit hole badges. So grateful. Posted them out today. So, so grateful. Here to stay, holding your feet to the fire, says the person who's been emailing me. His name is John. I don't know what that means, but does that sound threatening to you?
Mm-hmm.
Here to stay, holding your feet to the fire. And John wonders why I don't want anything to do with him. John's an extreme example. He's an extreme example. I don't know. I don't know the point I'm trying to make here. I've just been really upset and really confused recently at how much some of you seem to want from me. I'm just a joker, man. I'm a jester. I'm here to dick around, and you can point and you can laugh with me. You can laugh at me. I couldn't give a stuff. As long as you're laughing or thinking or feeling or something, that is it. That's it.
For most people, they get it.
Most people do. You're absolutely right. Thank you.
It's the people who are at this point thinking, yeah, but he doesn't mean me because I'm different. It's you. It's people who expect some sort of one-to-one experience once this show is finished, or who think that by sending a message, somehow that means that we have to respond.
Mm.
We're not at work anymore.
It's really interesting. Tony gets it. Tony sent me a text, and then he says in his second text, if you do not reply personally or come round tonight for a coffee, I will troll you forever. Think carefully about your next move, bro. He gets it. He gets it. He
Most
gets
people
it.
Get it.
Most people do. It's a tiny percentage.
It's the people who get disappointed and sometimes personally offended.
I don't owe you anything. I feel I give you more than most. Your favourite singer doesn't owe you anything. Justin Bieber doesn't owe you anything. Paul McCartney doesn't owe you anything. Miley Cyrus, that doesn't owe you anything. I can't think of any actors. Or I can think, Daniel Craig doesn't owe you anything. All the people that play Doctor Who do not owe you anything. I'm not speaking to you, Peter, when I say that. But this part. Your favourite comedian, they don't owe you anything. All they owe you is that when you pay money to see their film or their set or you turn on the radio, that they do their best to give you a good time. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's all they owe you. And then it's done. Then it's done. That's the contract that you have with an entertainer. So it's a weird start to the show. I just felt I had to say something because I was so upset at some of the people getting angry because they thought I'd muted them. And he owes us everything. I saw that from a couple of people. And I thought, wow, you really think that just because you think I've muted you on Twitter, and the reason you think I've muted you is because I don't respond to your tweets? That's insane, man. That's insane. So, you know, think about me, and also think about the other people that you admire and that you respect and that you look up to, right? Their job is to, you know, make a movie for 3 months or make a TV series for a month or, sing songs for 90 minutes. That's the job. That's it. That's the contract you have with them. Anything beyond that is an absolute bonus. And if you choose to, you know, reward them with extra by buying their T-shirts and their merch, that's brilliant. That's great. But you're not buying any more of them. That's a bonus on top. Does that make sense, Catherine? Have I sound like a sanctimonious, pretentious dick there? That's my bringing that up.
No, because what we're talking about is some really extreme behaviour. And, you know, people that actually think that they have done something for you by listening to a radio show. I've done everything for him. You don't have to listen.
It's a weird vibe we've created, but you know what? I'm happy with that. I'm really looking forward to playing for you. Go on.
Most people get it.
Most people do. Oh, of course.
I think that it's part of the power of radio, the fact that what I'm thinking now is going directly into someone else's brain. And it's going into a bedroom that they may share with nobody, or they may share with someone they don't get on with, or they may be downstairs avoiding someone, or they may be thinking about not wanting to go to work. We're keeping them company at a really, what can be a really lonely time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're there when their friends aren't picking up the phone. But I think it's unreasonable to expect us to replace those people.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
We've got Noah, Tom, James, David, Becky, but first of all, we got Marcus.
Yes, man.
Yes, man.
I've forgotten what
Scooby
I'm calling
bap,
for.
Scooby-dee-bop-bop, scoop-dee-dee-dee-bop. Join in, Marcus.
Scooby-dee-dee-dee-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop
line for just under 19 minutes. That is a long time to retain one piece of information, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, man.
I love you. I love you guys. You
thank you, Marcus. What have you taken tonight, Marcus?
Well, I was teetotal for about 25 years.
Okay. what have you taken tonight, Marcus?
I love a whiskey and Disaronna.
A Pissarona?
Yeah, it's a Disaronna.
And you know, amaretto.
Yeah, that's the one.
Is this the way to amaretto? He'll be puking on my pillow.
Love it.
Marcus. Anyway, Marcus, so you don't know what you want to say then. Marcus, say hello to my good friend David Badcock.
Oh, hello, David Badcock.
Right. Are you drunk?
Hello. Haven't I been hugging my pillow? Dreaming dreams of Amarillo. That's with Maria who lives with me.
Marcus, don't want to talk to you because I hate drunk people, okay?
Whoa!
Oh, David, you're the only Catherine and you are the only person that heard that because we had to dump it.
But I think everyone can guess what he said.
For those who don't, the first half of that line was David saying, Marcus, I don't want to talk to you because I don't like drunk people. And Marcus told him to F off there. Oh, I wish I could speak to the callers like that.
Oh, that I feel a bit jaded now.
Not as jaded as Marcus is going to feel in the morning.
Oh, David. You must have had people tell you to F off before, whether it be in the ghost industry or the hen sex.
Some of them ghosts are rude, aren't they?
Well, I've not had anyone say F off to me for a very long time.
How long? When was the last time? What was the last situation where someone rudely told you to F off?
I was in Aldi, the supermarket.
Yep.
And I remember it vividly. I was going down the salad bit as you walk in.
Yeah.
And I reached down for the last packet of tomatoes.
Okay.
Because I fancied the ham and tomato sandwich.
With mayonnaise?
No.
Okay. All right. Just asking. Curious. What's your favourite sandwich? 03444991000. Call me now.
As I reached for them, a quite big man also reached for them, and I said, if you don't mind, I really want a ham and tomato sandwich. Can I have these? And he said, no. And then I said, well, I'm going to take them anyway, and then if you try and take them off me, I'm going to get the security to come over.
Right.
And then he told me to F off. Who's that? Am I on with someone? I really don't. I don't know why.
I'm going to take him anyway, and then if you try and take him off me, I'm going to
get. Right, turn your radio off.
Thank you. I have done.
Right. Could you explain why you decided on the live radio station to tell me to F off?
I'm so sorry. I can't apologise enough.
I tell you, I bet you stink.
He's going to do it again.
No, I'm very fragrant.
Right. Amaretto.
Why did you think... I don't want to get... The things I want to say to you, Marcus, but I'm afraid it might really upset you deep down. So you're probably quite sad already, aren't you?
I'm deep as a well, baby.
Right. Nope. Right. We can't help you. I suggest you go to bed.
Well, I'm going to go to bed in about 30 minutes. That's fine. That's fine, man. Who am I talking to?
With respect, I'm not going to tell you my name. All I will.
I'm not interested in your name at all. I am an absolute potty mouth. I accept that. But I am a man of extreme
violence.
Passions. Drinking habits.
I am a man of extreme quality.
Oh.
Right. Okay.
And humility.
Have you ever wondered how a chicken gives birth to an egg?
Oh, here we go.
Oh,
there we go again. Okay, that's enough now.
Did we do the 22 break? We did, thank you.
I mean, fair's fair.
Now, maybe the first time I warranted it, but that one was unjust.
I think you did goad him a little,
Scott,
to be honest.
Scott says, hashtag, je suis Marcus. David, I'm afraid we're going to have to let you go. If you're going to continue to encourage my callers to swear, we should probably say goodbye, mate.
I asked him if he ever wondered how chickens lay eggs.
It was an aggressive, sexually charged question.
There was a tone.
I don't want Marcus back. All I want to say is it's been proven in the newspapers that you can actually hatch a chicken from a supermarket egg.
Thank you very much indeed. That's not true in the slightest.
Moonlit musings from mums, madams, and meat packers.
Oh, never mind. I must have misheard.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
The station's brilliant.
On Talk Radio.
Too near, they can get it from my angle, and you'll see why I still can.
It's a terrible song.
Not so bad.
He says at the end. He turns it around. There, you made a movie.
I feel like I should know that.
There's a movie of Copacabana. Oh mate, there's a movie of Copacabana. I bought it. This is people wonder, you know, surprised that I'm bisexual. When I was like 14, I bought the Copacabana movie on VHS, and I had it and I watched it. And it's a terrible, terrible film. From what I remember, it's sort of set in the 40s. Mm-hmm. Or 50s maybe, and he wins like a music quiz on a radio show and then gets to go and work at the Copacabana. He thinks he's winning the chance to be the star turn, but actually he just becomes a waiter at the Copacabana.
Is his name Rico?
No, isn't Rico the bad guy?
Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl. Fancy feathers in her hair and a dress with her. Then she would merengue and do the cha-cha. And
his name was Rico, yeah.
No, he wore a diamond. He is the baddie.
And he
Tony.
He's Tony. Yeah. He's Tony in the movie.
I think I might have seen it.
It's some film, man. It's some film. I mean, it's some terrible film, but yeah. I love rock stars in movies. I would watch a double bill of Copacabana starring Barry Manilow and The Jazz Singer starring Neil Diamond. There's a scene in The Jazz Singer. I like The Jazz Singer. I've got a lot of affection for it. It's 20 minutes too long, but I've got a lot of affection for it. And, but Neil Diamond is a little more wooden than Pinocchio, shall we say. And there's a scene in it where he has to get angry and storm out of the studio, right? And he couldn't do it. And they kept going, oh, we're going to go again, Neil. And then they had this, just take five minutes, guys. And the director went up to the band and said, look, you guys work with him, right?
Is there anything you can do to get him really pissed? Because he's American. Get him really pissed. Is there anything you can do to get him really angry so that we get the thing? And the band said, leave it to us. So he comes back in, and then just before, so the guy says action, and they start playing Barry Manilow songs. And he goes mental and, like, throws stuff around. Cut! We got it, Neil! That was fantastic!
So Manilow is his kryptonite.
Yeah, yeah. He was very envious of Manilow. Funny old world, isn't it?
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
You voted for it. 0344-499-1000. We don't know if the phones are working. I have a backup plan, but before we go to the backup plan, some calls have snuck through. Remember last night, we had two lines that worked. It's looking like to me we've got two lines that are working. Sam, I don't know if you want to call up and see if the third line works. I don't know if you'd like to do that. Let's find out. We just don't know, but I'm in such a zen place, baby, because I smoked a big fat doobie.
You did not.
And I am so zen, and if the phones don't work, the phones don't work, and we make a goddamn awesome radio show and a backup plan. I gave out my home phone number earlier, and I switched on the old answer phone, and I brought the old answer phone in with me tonight, and I'm hoping some of you boys and girls, ladles and jelly spoons, have done what you needed to do to... Was that you? No. Okay. Don't know. I've brought in my answer phone, and I'm really, really hoping that some people have left some answer phone messages. Is that you, Sam? Hang on, let's just check. Hello? Hello? Sam?
Hello?
Why did you make a phone call outside of the room?
Because in the room I don't get a signal.
You don't get a signal in there?
Oh.
No.
Okay. What did you think of Boris Johnson's speech today, Sam? Okay, he just hung up on me.
The guy I work with
just hung up on me. We got a phone call coming through. In the meantime, let's go to Bag. Hey, Bag.
Hello.
Hello, Bag. You're live on Talk Radio, the home of right-wing, the home of the late-night alternative with Catherine Boyle and Ian Lee.
Well, I thank you.
You should. I hope you're on your knees.
Marimba.
Sorry?
Marimba.
What about Narinda?
Marimba.
What about...
Is that the wooden tool you're thinking of?
Who am I thinking... What?
No.
Let's start again. Oh, the marimba! No, it's not... Sorry, I thought of what you were talking about, you fruitcake. No, it's not the marimba. You hold it. It's like a sort of wooden tube.
You scrape it.
It's a musical scrapoid.
Oh, yeah, no, I can't help you there.
Tell you who'd know this.
Go on.
Ruth McPaul.
Who's Ruth McPaul?
Ruth McPaul.
Who's Ruth McPaul? Oh, Ruth McPaul.
But he's probably banging away at the back of some room somewhere.
That's libel.
No, it's not. That's his job.
Oh, I see. Yes, he's a male hooker.
Nope.
Bag, what can we do for you this evening? It's not a great line, but boy, oh boy, we're going to milk it for all it's worth.
Well, so you should. So, I firstly wanted to say thank you so much for bringing mental health to the forefront.
Yes.
And you are a pioneer in that sort of field, my friend.
Thank you very much indeed. I don't know if I'd agree, but thank you. I
really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
So, I have been suffering a wee bit, and I don't want to go through the detail of it.
You don't have to tell us the war stories if you don't want to. You share as much or as little as you want, sir.
More recently, in fact, today, I have reached a breakthrough.
There we go. This is great to hear. What's happened today? What's been the change? What was the deal?
So, what happened was my boss said I wasn't doing a good job.
Oh.
Yeah, but I was expecting that. And it's been in the back of my mind. I mean, Don't get me wrong, Ian. Yeah. I am a great performer in my job.
Yeah.
That's fine. But I just find it really difficult to communicate with my colleagues.
Okay.
And when my boss told me that there might be issues in that,
mm-hmm.
I thought that that was the best thing he could have said.
It can sometimes be very helpful to someone to give you an honest appraisal of where you're falling down a little bit.
Well, it was more than that. It was, I had that thought in the back of my mind for probably about 12 months.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, I then went to see my counsellor about an hour afterwards. And she said, wasn't it great that the way you reacted to that was not, you were really depressed, as you were 6 months. Honestly, Ian, I tried to commit suicide twice, but I have really made so many good strides.
Good, good. I'm glad you're alive.
Yeah, and so am I.
Yeah.
Honestly, I've got a wonderful wife. I've got everything to live for. You know, it's just the dark forces that sometimes just, well, certainly at the beginning of this year, they were just so debilitating. And the best thing I could ever do was just curl up in bed and just stay there.
So you're, what you're saying, because we've got the phones are actually working, Bag, for the first time in about 3 years, and the phones are very, very busy, so I'm going to move on in a minute. But what you're saying is, tell me if I'm wrong, you've had a lousy time, you tried to kill yourself a couple of times, but today could be the day you look back on and go, well, that was the turning point for me.
I certainly hope so.
I do too, man.
Because the last thing I want is to go back to what happened.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know you have to go on to another call, so...
Dirtbag, you give us a call again. I'm glad you're alive. And I know, I'm aware sometimes when I say that, that it can sometimes sound a little patronising to people. Not at all. Genuinely, genuinely mean it from the bottom of my heart. I just have cursed with a voice that sounds quite insincere. But genuinely, Bag, I am so pleased that you're alive. And everybody who's attempted or considered taking their own lives, I'm glad you didn't. I'm really, really glad you didn't. And Bag, we will speak again. Thank you very much indeed. Let's go to Naomi. Good evening, Naomi.
Good evening. How are you?
Good evening, Naomi. I'm very, very well. I'm putting on a little bit of weight. I'm trying to shift a little bit of weight. But I'm not getting upset about it. It is what it is. Naomi, what have you got for us this evening?
Just to say I'm getting a new tattoo tomorrow.
Ah! Now, is this the angel wings?
It is.
Wow, on the back.
Full size or little?
Full size.
How long is that going to take?
At least 4 hours.
Oh, do they knock you out?
No.
You have to be awake.
I'm going
to
be awake.
Do you have to? Can you watch a movie? Can you listen to podcasts? Do you have to engage with the idiot?
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Yeah, whatever. He's a tattoo artist. I don't want to talk to them. I'm joking. Tattoo artists. My brother is on.
You can have your iPad on. You can play about.
Do they have an intricate system of mirrors so that you can look in front of you and you can see exactly what's going on your back?
Oh yeah.
They do. Yeah.
I always want mirrors so I can see what's going on.
Okay. Okay.
Even with my puppies, when they got pierced and
stuff. The what?
Even when I got my puppies done, I want.
You're not allowed to pierce animals. Oh, my God. I see what she meant. Catherine, just mind it. I thought she meant a little woof-woof. You had your woof-woof pierced, have you?
No.
Uncut after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.